Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
It's just over a week until the results will start rolling in for the US presidential election, and the news out of the US just keeps getting weirder and weirder, doesn't it? Some Donald Trump voters have warned of some kind of revolution if Hillary Clinton wins on November 8 and say they'll march on the Capitol. Trump supporters in Colorado, Florida, North Carolina and Wisconsin have told the New York Times that the polls don't reflect the silent majority and that Trump's actually going to win in a landslide on November 8th. Joining me now from the US is Andrew Romano, senior writer with Yahoo News. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Just over a week until Americans head to the polls now. What's the mood like in the US?
That's a good question. You know, all the information we're seeing, all the data, if you drill down into it, is saying that Hillary Clinton's going to win. She's got a durable lead in the head-to-head national polls. It's averaging about 5%. It goes as high as 10% in certain polls. Trump has a ceiling around 42, 43% that he has not cracked, and there is just not a lot of time left for him. So when you start to run that through the statistical models, you're getting anywhere from an 85 to a 95% chance of a Hillary Clinton victory. Most people are sort of acknowledging this, including a lot of the down-ballot Republicans who I've been covering. They're starting to run ads saying that they should be elected as a check on President Hillary Clinton to keep her from enacting her liberal ambitions, conceding essentially that Donald Trump isn't going to be president. But some people don't accept this reality, and you were mentioning some of them in your introduction there. These are the Trump voters who come out to his rallies, diehard fans. They read news sites that say that Trump is going to win because there's going to be an incredible turnout of white voters who've never showed up at the polls before. It's going to be like Brexit. The polls aren't capturing these voters. And I think, they might be very surprised on Election Day.
It has been reported that the Trump campaign actually has a new strategy to try and keep key Clinton demographic voters away from the polls. Can you talk us through how this is meant to work?
Yeah, this is fascinating. So there was a report in Bloomberg Business Week magazine here where they got exclusive access to what's called Project Alamo. It's essentially Trump's data operation. It's located in San Antonio, Texas. There are about 100 people. It's really been pretty much secret until now. There are a lot of things going on there. They tweet for Donald Trump. They fundraise for Donald Trump online, and they've raised a lot of money, I think $240 million for Trump online. But one of the most fascinating things is this effort that they've designed that's kind of the reverse of what you usually see in a presidential campaign. Usually, the idea is that your data operation, your field operation will work together to identify and turn out the people who are going to vote for you. That's really just like the basic way that campaigns work. What they're doing in San Antonio at Project Alamo is trying to discourage groups of voters that might vote for Hillary Clinton. And there are three groups of voters that they're focusing on. Idealistic white liberals. So these are basically Bernie Sanders supporters, people who did not like Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary and voted for Bernie Sanders and still are not particularly warm on Hillary Clinton. Young women. These are some of the people who are supposed to be Clinton's biggest supporters, but who she's had some trouble convincing. And African-American voters who overwhelmingly support Hillary Clinton. And the way they're doing this is by seeding through social media certain messages. So when Trump goes on a debate stage and talks about WikiLeaks and Hillary Clinton's support for free trade deals throughout the past, that's supposed to dissuade Sanders supporters from showing up. When he brings a bunch of women, up on stage at an event who were allegedly sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton, it's supposed to undermine her appeal to young women. And they've been posting messages apparently on Facebook about Clinton's quote in 1996 that some African American males were super predators as a way to discourage black voters from showing up at the polls, particularly in Florida, which is a must-win state.
Is there any evidence that this is working as a strategy?
No, there's no evidence. I mean, we just found out that it exists. The question, I think, is that, this sort of thing has never really been tried before, and it's probably never been tried before for good reason. There's a definitely a risk here that it will backfire. That is that Trump just saying on stage that Hillary Clinton, supported a Trans-Pacific Partnership, or talking about WikiLeaks, actually will sort of defang those issues for some of the people who might have been motivated by them. That is, when Bernie Sanders says these things and gives you a reason to vote for Bernie Sanders, it's one thing. But voters who already dislike Donald Trump, African-American voters, idealistic white liberals, and young women, aren't necessarily going to be persuaded by anything that Trump says. So, I think it's a relatively small-scale effort ultimately, but it's very interesting in the sort of window it provides into the Trump campaign's thinking.
So how seriously are people taking the threats of a so-called revolution from Donald Trump supporters should he probably lose the election?
Well, I think that they're indicative of a larger mood and a larger concern that people have about this election, which is that Trump has been talking over and over about how the election is quote-unquote rigged, that there will be massive voter fraud, that the media is conspiring against him, that he might not accept the results of the election. And I think that's what people are concerned about. They're less concerned about some sort of large-scale mob violence or revolution, but they are concerned, about a lot of people who are very passionate. What might sort of happen at the polls on election day? Trump has been encouraging his voters to go to polling places in African American areas, specifically in big cities, and essentially watch or intimidate voters. He hasn't obviously said intimidate, but watch for irregularities. And that could be a difficult situation. There could be little scuffles that break out. And the other question is, will his supporters after the election, push the Republican Party, not to work on constructive legislative solutions? Will his supporters make it more difficult for Republicans to try to meet Democrats in the middle or try to work through the legislative process to actually get something done? And I think that's a big issue, especially if Trump stays in the limelight, starts some sort of Trump TV network, which is what a lot of people have been talking about, and continues to try to stir things up after the election.
Andrew, it is utterly fascinating watching it all unfold in the US at the moment. Let's not talk about Donald Trump for a moment, because one of the issues that hasn't had a lot of press this election, it could actually be something that is a real turning point, and that's the legalization of marijuana in the US. How might this play out in the election?
Yeah, this is going to be absolutely fascinating. So we have several states now that have already legalized recreational marijuana. They include Colorado, most famously, but also Washington and several other states. What we're seeing on the ballot in November is that a bunch of, another handful of states, Massachusetts, Maine, Arizona, Nevada, and most importantly, California, where I live, and by far the largest economy and most populated state in the United States, are looking at also legalizing recreational marijuana. The polls are suggesting that in most of those places, including California, that these legalization measures are going to pass. This is going to have a huge impact. It's both from the cultural standpoint, to see this change taking place so quickly, but also from an economic standpoint, where the estimates now show that the market for both recreational and medical marijuana is projected to grow to $22 billion in 4 years. It's $7 billion this year, and that's largely because California is going to be getting into the action. So there's a lot of questions about, tax revenues, consequences for the economy in these various places, and the conflict between the states and the federal government. It's not legal federally to use marijuana in the U.S., and it creates all kinds of sort of crazy legal situations. So it's just this fascinating cultural shift that's underway and is going to be accelerated probably after the election.
By the sounds of it, there must have been a huge economic boost in the states where it is already legal, such as in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, both there's been a huge drop in the number of arrests for marijuana. It was a 46% drop in Colorado. But then also the tax revenues that came into the state, millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars. And that's just going to be, exponentially increased if California gets in on it, because it's just such a huge economy. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I think it's something like the eighth or ninth largest economy in the world if it were a country. So it's going to be a really big deal.
Wow, that will be fascinating to watch once we finish watching all the drama that is the main game as well. Andrew, thanks so much, and you talk to Phil Clark next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, Andrew Romano, senior writer with Yahoo News, joining us on The Nightlife.